Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. Yes, the matchmaking hats are back on following a memorable, storyline-filled, high-stakes return to the world's most famous apex with UFC Vegas 87, the final stop before UFC 299 in Miami. It is good to be back. I am Mike Heck, and joining me on this matchmaking adventure was the man who held things down last week in my absence in the hosting chair. Shout out to Jen Michu, who sat in the co-hosting chair. Let us welcome in the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the Prince of Positivity, and gosh darn, he's my best friend, Alexander Kaylee. AK, how are we doing on this Sunday morning?
Derek Lewis. Derek, oh, sorry. I thought we were jumping ahead, Mike. Can we get this over with? Because you said on the preview show, there's one matchup, my best friend, that we need to talk about today, and I know we'll get to it, but I'm just getting out of the way. Derek Lewis. The whole world was saying the most talked about name. I feel like after Saturday night, it was just Derek Lewis. We'll just wanted to see Derek Lewis and Jairzinho. Yes, last week was great. Jed did a great job. Mexico City was a fun card. I actually enjoyed Saturday's card. I see people, it really took a downturn with the Petrino Pedro fight, and then I saw the people kind of like, oh, and this Rosen Strike, like, Gazeef fight is not going to be much better. And it was, obviously, the main was not great. But I kind of found it interesting to watch, at least in a heavy, weighty way, because I thought Jairzinho, the fact that he was able to make adjustments and show he can win a fight past the first, like, 6 minutes was great. I actually was kind of impressed in the end. So, overall, I gave it a gymnastics score of, like, 8.2, Mike. I actually thought, if you took everything, like with the prelims, I thought it came pretty close. I thought a lot of the high stakes fights were intriguing. They're maybe not the most exciting fights, but I thought there was intrigue. I thought the storylines, we didn't necessarily get satisfactory answers to some of these contender bouts. But again, that's part of the what makes MMA so interesting and unpredictable to me. So I don't know if the card was an 8.2, but it wasn't like far off. This was not a bad card at all. I thought it was fine. That was a fun Apex card.
Yeah, it wasn't a terrible watch. It got a little sloggy down the stretch, but I got to say, with the main event, the psychology between Rosenstrike and Gazeev from like round the second half of round two and beyond, like the starts of round three and four were absolutely hilarious, because Gazeev would come out like slowly walking towards the center, just trying to catch his breath, and Rosenstrike's looking like freaking Sugar Ray Leonard, bouncing up and down, ready to throw his jab. Like, it was pretty wild to watch. Do we even need to do this, AK? Like, no. For Rosenstrike? Like, it's Derek Lewis, and I think it's pretty unanimous from everybody that is submitted. It's Derek Lewis. We don't even need to cue up the music. No. We could just move on with things, right? Like, what the hell are we doing here?
You said win or lose in the previous show. You were like, I don't even care about the result. You're like, we have to make Jairzinho, Derek Lewis happen at some point. I saw a lot of people who were talking about that possible matchup on social media were like, wait, they were like, didn't this fight happen? Like, a lot of people were just like, I thought we saw this, but I guess we didn't, so we need to see it. Yeah, it just makes sense. They've been around for so long. There's a chance that that fight honestly becomes like Ngannou Lewis too. Like, you could have a bad clash of styles here, but I need to find out that, or again, one of these guys slugs the other dude and just wipes them out, which is also a high possibility. So you're either getting, again, highlight reel knockout, or you're getting a hilarious, probably five round, because this probably ends up as a main event on a fight night somewhere. Or a hilarious five round slug. So I'm all in on the Jairzinho experience. Again, I don't know what to expect of this guy. I'll say again, he showed maturity. He showed poise and pulling off that win and really just outlasting Khabib and just putting it on him in the third and fourth rounds. So him and Derek Lewis, it's got to happen. Derek Lewis, if you're out there, just, you know, wait for that contract. Wait for that contract, sign it, and please give us one of our heavyweight dream fights.
Derek Lewis could fight one time before he fights Jairzinho.
Sure.
Because Jairzinho said July or August he'd like to come back. He'd like to go home to Suriname, recalibrate, I believe was the word he used, and then come back in the summer. So if Derek Lewis wants to get a paycheck before the Jairzinho fight, he could certainly do that. But Jairzinho's next fight is Derek Lewis. Yeah. And I don't care who I don't care if Derek Lewis fights John Jones next. He's fighting Jairzinho to strike after.
And just like we said for Jairzinho, win or lose, whoever Derek Lewis next fight, whatever. If he wins, he's fighting Jairzinho. If he loses, he's fighting Jairzinho. Let's just, I wish the UFC could do things like this, where it's like they sign a contract this week, and it's like, whatever, we will be fighting at UFC 310 in August or July or August or something. We could take a fight in between if you want, but this is happening. This fight is happening. Health permitting, this fight is happening.
It's probably not, but let's keep hoping, because I've not picked anybody else for either guy in 3 years of doing this show. Win or lose, it's always been this matchup. So, and it's not going to change until it happens. No. So just spoiler alert, Jairzinho's in a main event against somebody else and wins or loses, I'm going to say Derek Lewis. You may not even talk about it because you already know what my answer is going to be. Let's move on to the co-main event. Vitor Petrino takes on Tyson Pedro. And we thought, hey, under 1.5 is maybe the biggest no-brainer bet of the entire card. But that's not what happened. Instead of a violent, vicious, light heavyweight slugfest, we got a middleweighty, light heavyweight chess match, I guess you can call it. But that chess match was won by Vitor Petrino. I think we're going to probably talk about Tyson Pedro along with another fighter who competed on this card a little bit later on. But he gets the win. And he called out Anthony Lionheart Smith, AK. It seems like every light heavyweight on the come up who gets a win calls out Anthony Smith because he's probably working the desk at the Apex during that event. So Vitor trying to take the path of least resistance. Anthony's in the building, calls him out. Do you like that idea, or do you have somebody else in mind?
I don't hate it. It's a good call out. I mean, it's a logical call out that there is sort of an Anthony Smith sweepstakes because the man still has a number next to his name. Let me quickly look at the UFC rankings. I think he's in our rankings too, but at UFC rankings, they have Anthony Smith. So top 10, that's good. That's top 10 call out. I think he's in ours too, probably a little bit lower. Let me see the last time we put Anthony Smith down. So we've got top 10. So top 10 opponent for sure. If he manages to get that fight, and we hold Anthony Smith at 12. So, and that's including a light heavyweights from other promotions. So, it's a great call out. If he gets it, Petrino, solid job. You know, you're getting yourself a number next to your name if you win that. But I didn't go that way. Before I give my pick, Mike, let me ask, now that we have established, I'm still disputing it, but we had a lengthy discussion about the quality of the middleweight division. And it is no question. You think it's a top five division. I have said it is, I don't agree it's top five, but that it's better than it's ever been. So we're very high on middleweights regardless. I think light heavyweight is the new middleweight, if that makes sense. I feel like this isn't the first like light heavyweight fight we've got like this, where the expectations were kind of high and then it ended up being just like, oh, okay, it was a fight. A fight happened and someone won. We'll have to look at the data. There's much less light heavyweights than there are middleweights, so I think we just get less fights. It'll be harder to keep track of, but I think middleweight, maybe we can take that. Maybe for at least 2024, we put the middleweight title aside, because I think we got to focus on who's the light heavyweightiest light heavyweight. And Petrino's been pretty good up to this point. I don't think we should hold this one kind of dull performance against him, especially since he won. He won. It was a convincing win. But something to keep an eye on in the future. I feel like there's some light heavyweightness going on, and we have been critical of this. And this isn't new. We've been critical of this division for the past, like, 2 years, probably. It might be reaching a boiling point. But I went with him and Dustin Jacoby, Mike. Not quite ready to give him top 15, top 10. Just give him a stiffer test here. And if you can get past Jacoby, I'd be really, really impressed. I think Jacoby's a bad matchup for him, but 4-0 so far, so good for you, Vitor.
A couple of things. One of my ideas on the post-fight show was expanding, because I don't think you could take away middleweighty. I think middleweighty has to be the first word used. Mm-hmm. But I think we can expand the word middleweighty to any division from 185 and above. I think heavyweight has produced a lot of middleweighty fights. You could make a strong case. Jarzynia Rozenstrike versus Shamil Gazeev was a middleweighty heavyweight fight. So maybe we just expand this all and we have more options to crown an actual champion. Another thing I want to say about that, if there is a tournament or a money in the bank ladder match for the middleweight title, Eric Anders punched his ticket yesterday with his win. So he is in the match 100%. He might just be the consensus champion. That's a very popular word when it comes to deciding who is the best of the best. So
I have a feeling he's not your wild card pick, so we should give our flowers to Eric Anders for a vintage middleweight and Jamie Pickett. It takes two to tango.
Sure.
Vintage middleweight fight. Just a fight I will have no recollection of by next week. I will not remember at all.
Certainly. You also said a very important two-word structure. Three words, actually. The Anthony Smith sweepstakes. And that's where I'm going here. Hmm. Vitor Petrino versus this man. The winner gets Anthony Smith. Bogdan Guskov. Winner of that fight gets the Anthony Smith fight. Both guys called for it. Both guys coming off a big win. Let's just do that. Anthony Smith, these are kind of the guys he's going to have to fight at this point. But that performance, it's a win. And he remains undefeated in the UFC. If he just went out there and had a slugfest to Tyson Pedro and knocked him silly, makes that call out, I think it gets a little more buzz, but the fight wasn't memorable. Very middleweighty. Give him one more. There's no way Bogdan Guskov is going to allow Vitor Petrino to chess match all over him. He's either going to get or get got. So the winner gets Anthony Smith. I like that idea. But now we need to move on to the man who had the most to gain in a lot of people's minds at UFC Vegas 87. His name is Muhammad Makhachev. He took on Alex Perez. A lot of people felt that if Muhammad Makhachev went out there, did work, had a tremendous showing, he would be the no-brainer to step in to face Alexander Pantoja for the flyweight title at UFC 301 in Brazil. Now, Muhammad Makhachev clearly did not have his best night. He says he was very sick. He decided to take disgusting pictures and posted to social media to try to prove that point. Still called for the title fight. But the most important box he checked off was he won. And Alex Perez is no pushover. The guy hasn't really been able to get into the octagon as of late. He's had some health issues. All sorts of things have happened. He's been booked a million times. Man has fought for a belt. So he's had some good runs. And he's probably still one of the 8 best flyweights in the UFC right now. And he proved that with this fight and his grittiness against Muhammad Makhachev. So, AK, I ask you, are you going Muhammad Makhachev challenging Alexander Pantoja for the flyweight title at UFC 301, or would you like to see one more, maybe two more? Where are we going here?
I didn't go that way. It helped that, again, I'm sticking with a previous Otno pick just last week. I'm pushing for the Royval Pantoja trilogy. I know it is... That is about as imperfect a challenge as you can have right now. He just lost to Pantoja 2 months ago, but I'm standing by it because, again, this is probably a bias towards being a Royval fan, and like I just hated that title fight so much, and I felt like Royval fought poorly. And no, when someone does that, you should not reward them with another shot. But just in this unique circumstance where you have a Brazilian fighter who you probably is your best option to headline this upcoming Rio de Janeiro show, and he needs a challenger. Then under these circumstances, and Royval coming off, I thought, a pretty solid win. I know it was a split call, but pretty solid win against Moreno. Could have gone either way, but good fight. And, you know, avenging your previous loss, like that was huge. That was huge. That was huge for Roy Val's resume. And I want to give him one more shot because it's probably a long road for him to fight his way back under normal circumstances, but these aren't normal. Pantoja needs a fight, so I'm sticking to Roy Val. And I just think, I honestly think, like, Makhachev just still needs more seasoning. I know he's 6-0, undefeated, a lot of amateur fights. Like, his record is deeper than it looks. He's a prodigy, you know, he's a wrestling prodigy. There's no question. He's an MMA prodigy, but I feel like Pantoja, I don't think he could beat Pantoja right now. And maybe that's not the goal. Maybe we shouldn't be booking to say, like, oh, let's book around Makhachev, you know, to develop him into this champion. Maybe we shouldn't care about that. But I just don't think he's ready yet. And that performance didn't scream, I'm ready for the title fight. I don't know if you just saw the tweet that, like, he was suggesting he fights Roy Val in Manchester. So even he's kind of like, if I don't, like, he's not really super confident that he's getting this title shot. So I have to go away from that for Makhachev for now. There's some very obvious fights against guys who are injured or on the shelf. I'm going to pick one of them. It may mean Makhachev has to wait. I want to see him fight Kai Car of France. KKF, of course, dealing with a concussion, which is, you know, the time total for those returns is always up in the air. But I'm hoping he gets good health within the next 4 or 5 months and Makhachev gets that fight. So, yeah, sorry, guys. I don't have any sexy pick for the 301. Headliner. I'm still going with Pantoja, Roy Val, and Makhachev. Just needs a little more work, Mike. A little more work.
So just to break down the fourth wall here.
Yes.
We're in the middle of a hectic move right now.
Oh.
And so I had to get a hotel room last night to work and today to do this program. So there's these noises going on. But then I just realized that's just the band queuing up. Even in the hotel, the band has widespread reach.
Whoa.
The band is queuing up. What is it?
You took the band with you?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let me make sure.
Friends forever.
The band follows us anywhere. If they follow us everywhere.
Wow. Kai
Car France, correct answer. Do it in Manchester. Do it in July. Totally down for that. Makes a lot of sense. Now, could Makhachev get the title shot? Certainly. That tweet to Roybal, if they do Makhachev Roybal, I would not be opposed to that either. But I'd like to see, basically, we've learned that there's no need to rush Muhammad Makhachev here. There's no need. Now, if they want to do it, like if he goes out and just gets pantsed up by Pantoja, it's not like his career is over. He's a young man. He will be able to learn from it and grow from it. He's going to grow up in this organization as a fighter. He'll be doing the damn thing for the next 6, 7 years easily. No doubt about it. But I kind of just think we should slow roll him a little bit. Give him Kai Car France, beats Kai Car France. Give him Roy Val or someone in that or a Moreno type after that. And then if he gets that win and then another one, give him 2 wins, then he can fight for the belt. Like, I'm totally fine with it. There's no need to rush him into this fight. There are options. If you want to do Manel Kopp, even though he doesn't deserve it in my eyes because he blew weight, which is crazy because if Manel Kopp just said, oh man, I'm too sick, I can't fight, he would have got crapped on a little bit by the peeps, but he probably would have just been the automatic person. They probably would have already announced that fight for him fighting for the belt. So he might just get in there to be just the villain, or the UFC has the ace up the sleeve and they got Kyoji Horiguchi all signed, sealed, and delivered, and throw him in there. I mean, God, what a freaking fight that would be. But yeah. Makhachev versus KKF is the fight for me, and we'll see how this all plays out. But if they do Roybal, I'm down for that as well. But we'll see what happens. A win is a win. That's all that matters. And it impresses me when a guy on their worst day, and I have to take him at his word here, goes out and still wins. We saw Khamzat Chimaev take a bunch of crap. That's the one we always go back to. He has this gritty, adversity-facing moment against Gilbert Burns in one of the greatest fights I've ever seen, and people shat on him because he won. Like, come on, give me a break. You're not always gonna have your best game. JDM's had some tough performances then bounced back with a great one. A lot of fighters have. John Jones, who everyone says is the greatest of all time, has had some stinkers, but people still say he's the greatest of all time. It's okay to have a bad night at the office is all I'm trying to say. He's a young man, he'll bounce back. Do KKF, and let's see what happens.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
I couldn't tell for a second there if you were talking about Makhachev or round one Umar Nurmagomedov. I was like, is he doing a segue here into our other undefeated title contender?
Yes, I mean a tremendous segue, AK. Mm. I mean, that's why you're a professional. Let us go to Umar Nurmagomedov. I got to say, there are two moments that have happened in this sport that are both incredible in different ways that I can't stop thinking about since last night. One was the incredible transition from Demetrius Johnson when he hoists up a gentleman in midair, and then as he's coming down, he puts him in an armbar and gets a submission. Just seamless from one transition to the next. The other is Umar Nurmagomedov getting stung by his opponent yesterday and then turning that momentum into almost getting knocked out into a takedown. Like all in one motion. It was just the most ridiculous thing. And he just goes out there and does the damn thing and gets a 30-25 on one of the scorecards despite that. And even all the comparisons to Islam Makhachev, Armin Tsarukyan, and even Diego Lopez versus Bob Zaharov-Loyev, like some of that is still there despite the domination Umar had against Behzad Alkan. But Umar is just... dude is so good. His takedowns are so fast. Almakhan had no answer to them at all. Just absolutely none. And Umar just comes through, faced a little adversity, which you kind of want to see for these guys on the come up. And he bounced through it with tremendous grace and gets a dominant win, 30-26, 30-26, 30-25. This is a no-brainer. This probably doesn't even deserve a Friends Forever, but it's Corey Sandhagen. This is the fight. This is the fight. I want to see what this kid is made of. I know a lot of people, I think you're one of them, who are like, yep, this is the best bantamweight in the world. Not convinced, but if he goes out there and does that to Corey Sandhagen, I'm on board. I still don't know if he's better than Merab. I would probably still pick Merab to beat him in a fist fight right now, but he's definitely in the conversation for me. So let's just rebook the Sandhagen fight, and I want to see what this kid's made of. If he loses, so what? But if he beats Corey Sandhagen, he's on his way.
Yeah, I saw the band queuing up, and I was like, guys, settle down. This is too obvious. It's not. We all know it's Corey Sandhagen. Yeah, that's the right matchup. He has to beat a top 10 guy. And you mentioned Makhachev before. It feels like we're saying a lot of the same things that are Makhachev. We know this guy is good. Just the eye test. You know this guy is one of the best, arguably the best fighter in his division. But you look at the resume, and the resume is good. Solid name. Sergey Morozov, Brian Kelleher, Nate Maness, Howny Bucells. I think Behzad's a solid name. You know, I know people aren't familiar with him, but pretty good career before joining the UFC. And I think he'll have a good career in the UFC when he's fighting non-Umar opponents. So you can become a top five guy and you can get a title shot without beating a top guy. We saw that with Islam. There was just some bad luck for Islam with some of the matchups he was supposed to get, and he just didn't get them, right? So that may happen to Umar too, but I hope not, because the Sandhagen fight is a great test for both of them, and maybe Sandhagen beats them. Sandhagen is very well deserving of a title shot, another crack at the title. He had a shot at the interim belt once. He beat the guy who's about to fight for the title next week, and it wasn't like a controversial win, and it wasn't that long ago either. It's just, you know, timing and storylines just lined up for Cheeto, and that's why Sandhagen's out in the cold right now and has to fight Umar. So, yeah, it's a great fight. I don't know if there's much else to say about it. I'm so impressed by Umar. I think we talked about, man, I think he was on autopilot when he got rocked. I don't think you could pin this guy in his sleep, Mike. I think you could. I think, like, if he was sound asleep, middle of the night, and you tried to sneak into his room and just tried to pin him for 2 seconds, he would, one and a half, he would wake up, reverse you, and take you down. It was scary. It is scary how good this guy is. And how humble he was after. All he was saying after was, like, Beksat's a killer. This guy's a killer. He tried to kill me. Like, I had to try to kill him. I had to, you know, he sounded exhausted. It did look like a tough performance. So you get rocked in the first round. I probably sapped 25% of his cardio getting punched in the head like that. It's scary to think that he's going to get even better off of this performance, because he knows he's going to watch that footage. Him and his team will be like, here's how we make sure this never happens to you again. And he's going to level up. So I don't envy Corey Sandhagen, who will definitely be fighting Umar next.
I want that fight so badly.
Yes,
I want that
has fight. To.
Umar Nurmagomedov turning like the Andy Kaufman of MMA. He's saying all these things, and the dozens and dozens of fans in the Apex are all laughing at the things he's saying. And like, you can see in his eyes, like, I'm not trying to be funny right now. Why are you laughing? Yeah. No, seriously, I'm not trying to be funny right now. Like he tried to kill me in there. Like, this is a dangerous sport that we take part in. So. Good win, solid performance. Beksat is super fun. I'm excited to see what is going to be next for him. And good, solid fight, good, solid performance. Umar versus Sandhagen. Book it. Let's do it. A phrase that was used to describe Steve Ursay is just perfect, AK. Dark horse. This man might be the dark horse at 125 pounds. Goes in there with Matt Schnell, who, I hate to say this, honestly, but if Matt Schnell was the third fighter on this card to call it a career, I would not be upset about that. Just he's been dealing with so much trying to get in the octagon, and when he gets in the octagon, like, he might win a crazy submission like we saw in Long Island, but usually he takes just so much damage, or he just gets iced in the worst way, and that's what happened here. Ursay looked real good. He's piecing him up in the first round, and then he lands the walk-off KO. Matt Schnell goes out cold. Steve Ursay, humble, cool dude, just calls out Brandon Moreno. I don't think he's going to get that fight. I think I'm going to stick with my Moreno pick with Henry Cejudo. I could definitely see that fight happening, but I don't think this man is going to like this pick at all, and there's probably a good chance his manager's not going to like this pick at all, but I don't care. Steve Ursay versus Amir Albazi is the next fight. Let's just go ahead and do that and let the chips fall where they may. Amir Albazi is not getting a title shot. A lot of people feel, I'm one of those people, that he lost to Kai Kara France, and him getting hurt sucks for the Brandon Moreno fight, but that injury cost him, and it cost him big time, and he's probably going to need another win at least to get a title fight, if not two, considering where this division is right now. So you're going to have to fight backwards, and Steve Ursay has earned the opportunity to fight one of these guys. So give me that one.
Yeah, I should have gone that high. I think because, like I said, I was already feeling like a little squirrely about booking KKF against Makhachev because the injury. I don't know what Albazi's injury is. It's probably not going to keep him out too long, I guess, hopefully. But either way, I played it safe, went with someone who I know is healthy, I know his game, and is just a few spots above Steve Ursay, Tim Elliott. When the rankings come out, I wonder if Ursay will already get a bump over him.
He will.
But I think he should have to beat Tim to take his spot, even though, as you said, he might not have to. So I'll go with Ursay, Tim Elliott, fun matchup. But yeah, he's the sleeper here. And man, is there a remote chance if no one else, like, would they wouldn't put him over Makhachev and Roy Val for 301, would they?
No.
I almost wish he'd taken a shot, an unrealistic shot, and called for it. But I know he wasn't, like, he seems pretty practical. So I think he had done the math in his head. He's like, yeah, if I win tonight, I'm not going to. It probably never even crossed his mind to think he can get 301. But he, I don't know. You got a highlight reel knockout. What have you done for me lately, right? It really stood out. So I don't know.
So I'm not ruling this out. Mm-hmm. But a lot needs to fall in the right way for this to happen. One, and I've talked about this so many times, and I'm going to go ahead and say it again. If Jailton Almeida smushes Curtis Blaydes in the first round, they're going to try to do Jailton Almeida versus Tom Aspinall as the main event of UFC 301, which I think is a good main event. It's a good, solid main event.
Love it.
I love it. That's what you do. And then at that point, you could put Pantoja in there with absolutely anybody. And if it has to, if it's Steve Ursig, then it's Steve Ursig. It does not matter.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, or if Almeida has to work for a finish, or you know, wins a hard-fought decision, or somehow Curtis Blaydes beats him, Curtis Blaydes ain't fighting Tom Aspinall in Brazil. It makes absolutely no sense. So Pantoja has to headline. You have to bring in a more established name to that. Unless you make the tickets just super cheap to sell that thing out and then just hope you get pay-per-view buys. I know the UFC is red hot right now, but unless you like load this thing up, it's going to be a tough sell, honestly, for people to spend $80 after $299 and $300 and Francis and all this stuff. Like, it's very expensive to be a fan. So I think it's a lot's going to hinder on what happens on Saturday at UFC 299. So we'll see. Steve Ursig could find his way in there. But yeah.
Yeah. Steve Ursig, Manel Kopp, be on call. Stay healthy. Don't do anything stupid. And you could be headlining a pay-per-view in a couple of months.
That's the lesson to be learned, kids. Miss weight. And you might just find yourself in a title fight. All right, let's go to the wild card round. We'll select one fighter that we have not match made for, and we'll match make for them right now. AK, who is your wild card selection?
Let me go with my fellow Canadian, Ayman Zahabi, who I keep disrespecting by picking against him. I don't know how many times I've done it. I picked him to beat Arichi Lang, so I'm not like totally underestimating him, but I definitely was on the whole like, all the undefeated fighters going to have a lot of success on Saturday. And, you know, Javid Bashrat's going to kick it off. Even after the first round, I was like, I thought Javid was putting on a Javid-y Bashrat-y fight, you know, very methodical, beautiful timing, beautiful counters. And I'm like, oh, he's going to cruise. This is cruising to a 30-27 or a late finish. But Zahabi did the right thing, man. And his team made some amazing adjustments. Just ramp up the aggression, get in this guy's face, turning it into a fight, throw off his timing, you know, establish the rhythm. It was a great performance by Ayman Zahabi. And I hadn't realized he's won 4 straight fights. He's getting up there, man. He's moving up very deep division, so you can't give him like a huge name yet. So I was trying to think, do I go top 30, top 25? And as I moved him up my rankings, it was like, oh, the one name I couldn't move him past, I was like, well, I guess it's right there, isn't it? I guess he's got to fight Fareed, shouldn't he? Let's go. You know, let's just go full Bashrat Hunter and see if he can fight Fareed. I know Fareed could probably, I guess Fareed's a little ahead of Javid, and Fareed can probably get a top 25 guy. So maybe Ayman Zahabi would be a step backwards, but I think he's not that far off. I think, again, this is a big win for Ayman. Like I said, four straight wins now. And he looks like a guy who could be a sneaky, sneaky ranked guy. I think he could sneak towards a top 15 fight by the end of the year. And if he gets past a guy like Fareed, the next fight, I think, is a top 15 opponent. So let's go. Let's go storyline here. Fareed, avenge your brother. He took your brother 0. He probably wants to take yours too. So you go after him before he gets his chance to come for your undefeated record.
So I almost did it for Zahabi. I didn't, because I actually thought we were going to be pick the same here. I honestly think him fighting Fareed, right? Fareed?
Fareed, yeah. He's the one he hasn't fought. Yeah.
I think that's a step back for Zahabi, honestly. Like, Fareed's looked real good, but Javid was the higher-ranked guy for me. Like, a lot of people were calling for him to fight a top 15 guy after his previous win. So I think that's a step back for Ayman, and I think if Javid had beat Ayman, which a lot of people predicted him to, he's one of the biggest favorites on the card, I think he would have gotten a ranked guy. So why not give Zahabi a ranked guy? So I would have went with like a Ricky Simone. I think he's number 15. That's what I would have gone with. But I've chosen violence instead. Ludwig Klein, quietly amassing a nice, impressive win streak at 155 pounds, best division in the sport. So let's just go violence, man. I think he's won three in a row, gets better every fight. Let's give him Guram Kutataladze next, AK. Oh. How about that? Like, there's no way that fight sucks. So let's just go ahead and do that. Just chuck that on a card and let these two guys just beat the shit out of each other. That's where I'm at.
I think it really helped this prelims that there was two lightweight fights and two bantamweight fights because these people brought, when you said violence, I thought you were going with Loke Dog. Vinicius Oliveira with one of the most sickening and scary knockouts of the year. Again, that's a guy who he's new to the UFC. Whatever matchup they give him next, I'm sure will be fire. There's just too many options. But yeah, Klein, like you said, we kind of have a good idea of where he is in the UFC. Can he go higher than just like, you know, top 30 action fighter? Maybe not, but really who cares? If his job is to pick up highlights and be in brawls for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years and pick up bonus checks. Hopefully that's in Ludovic's future. So yeah, I like that matchup for sure.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, we usually forget to do this on the show, but we had two fighters announce their retirements yesterday, so their matchmaking cards are officially being revoked. Tyson Pedro, who we mentioned earlier, and Jamie Pickett as well. Anything you would like to say about those two gentlemen before we go to the list of theirs?
Happy trails to both. Tyson Pedro's fighter pay comments, obviously making the rounds. Good job by MMA Junkie to put that clip out there. You know, kind of joking about like, oh, I might have to rob someone. Yeah, that's how tough it's been to pay for training camps. And he's a jovial guy, so we're all kind of have a laugh about it. But once again, it raises the eternal discussion of fighter pay just being ridiculous. And it's a shame that's one of the reasons. He did say primarily he wants more time with his daughter, spend more time with his family. So, you know, maybe the financial things are to the side. But you have to imagine if he was making more money, if it was more affordable to train outside of Australia because he's training in New Zealand and keep making that trip, that he would be more inclined to keep fighting. He's a talented guy. We know he was a talented guy from the way he started his UFC career, and so he's shown flashes here and there. So people, be on the side of paying fighters more. Don't be dumb. And you don't need to defend the UFC. You don't need to defend Endeavor and Dana White. And just back up the fighters. Back up the fighters. Even if you don't think they should all be making millions of dollars, they should be making significantly more than they do. So Tyson Pedro, happy trails. Jamie Pickett, I'm going to miss a bit just because I always say this, that the UFC needs guys who are developmental talent, as it were. Developmental talent? Developmental enhancement. Thank you. Enhancement talent. And that's kind of what Jamie Pickett was for. Now, he wasn't my favorite kind of enhancement talent, where he was getting like straight up like smoked. Like, that's what I want to see if I got someone you're lining someone to lose just get crushed. Though he was on the receiving end of some highlights, but yeah, Jamie's a tough guy, very game. I think he got two. No, it was all one run with the UFC. It was three different contender series tryouts. So God bless him, man. Kept taking kicks at that can, made it to the big show. Whatever his record was in the UFC, I know it's not great. Doesn't matter. You know, he can say he made it. And in the contender series Apex era, you need guys like him. And you know, he did his job. So hats off to both guys. You know, fine. They never became champions, never became contenders. But yeah, wishing them the best and hopefully more money in the future.
Yes. All right, listener pick time. Have we done this enough where we don't need the rules and regulations, if you will, or do you want to?
Yeah, I think we can. No, I think we can skip from now on. Only if there's a special disclaimer, which I don't think we need this week. I only saw one person mentioned Tyson Pedro by accident, but we don't need to get into that. So obviously, if someone's retired, don't book them, guys. If they're just retired, definitely don't book them. But otherwise, we can move on.
Perfect segue, because we're going to begin with Four Corner Sports. He was the one who did do that, but he did come back and say, oops, sorry,
yes,
didn't know. Here we are. Four Corner Sports, I don't know how I feel about a lot of these picks, so let's read them off. Obviously, he's like everybody else in the world. Jairzinho versus Derek Lewis. Vitor Petrino versus Daun Jung. Don't love this one, AK. Don't love it, because not sure fighting a guy on a 3-fight losing streak is really the way to go for a guy who's undefeated in the UFC, so I don't love this ticket. Muhammad Makhachev versus Mateus Nicolau. The reasoning, high with the performance, got what he needed done, doesn't deserve a title shot, close fight doesn't warrant a title shot, just give the shot to Cop. Portugal versus Brazil. Umar versus Sanhagen. Okay with that. Urseg versus Royval. Royval needs one more win for a title shot. Urseg waits, catapult. I don't hate that. There's no way in God's green earth Brandon Royval's taking that fight, though. He's insane to take that fight. He gains nothing from it and could lose everything. Eric Anders versus Abus Magomedov. Vinicius Oliveira versus Marcus McGee. I think it's a little too soon, but I don't hate it. This is a better pick than others that I've seen. We'll get into that later. Christian Leroy Duncan versus Albert Duraev. I don't think Duraev is in the UFC anymore, so I don't know if that's possible. Here's the one that I scratched my head with. Hey, Abin Sahabi, you've won 4 straight fights. You beat one of the top prospects in the division, a guy who is, you were a 6-1 underdog to, a guy who is going to get a ranked guy next with the win over you. So let's throw you in there with Behzad Almakhan, who has only had 1 UFC fight and has almost knocked out Umar Nurmagomedov. Come on, man. Like, let him cook a little bit. Like, I think he deserves a different kind of a fight. Let's give him a Ricky Simone tie. I think throwing him in there with Behzad is promotional malpractice, AK. That's my thoughts. Not saying we'll never see that fight, but to give that to Eamon after this win over this guy, throw him in there with Behzad? I think that's not good. I don't think that's being discussed in the matchmaker meeting on Tuesday.
Even for Behzad, I don't like give Behzad someone a bit lower, give him someone maybe he can maybe he can style on. One of the, again, like I said, I know he's had a good career before the UFC, but that doesn't matter to a lot of UFC fans. I don't think they saw his best, even though he had a great knockdown in the first round. So yeah, find him someone lower. There's a lot of bantamweights on the roster. Find him someone lower who's just going to stand and bang with him, and let's have some fun with Behzad. So it, down the road, but they're not in the same section of the bantamweight division right now.
Yeah, Dad Jackson gave 2 picks. Both were said by Four Corner Sports. Louis Biggie Boy, Oliveira McGee. Left lane MMA, Petrino versus Anthony Smith. He's going right for it. Bahia versus Albazi in Saudi. Umar versus the Piotr Jan Song Yudong loser in Saudi. Urseg versus KKF in Australia. I don't know if they train together in any way or if there's any kind of relationship there, but if there isn't one, I'd certainly be down to see that fight. CLD versus MAB on that Manchester card. Marc-Andre Barrio versus Christian Leroy Duncan. Radzibov versus Sadikov. Sure. I don't know if Sadikov's booked or not. I didn't look into it. Ludwig Klein versus Nazrat Haqparast. This is one I don't love, AK. Vinicius Oliveira. When you have a knockout like that, there's a tendency amongst the community to just be like, all right, let's throw him to the wolves right now.
Yeah.
His suggestion is Adrian Yanez. To me, this is too soon. I mean, look, if they book this fight, am I going to complain? No, but Adrian Yanez was ranked not that long ago. And to go from a debut against a guy taking a fight on super short notice who gave Oliveira some problems in this fight, all the way up to Adrian Yanez in his second UFC fight? I don't know, man. I think that's way too big of a step up. I'm kind of with you the way we look at Behzad. Let this man cook. Just throw him in there with a bunch of guys who he's going to knock out and just let him compile a highlight reel. That's what I'm doing. There is no need to rush Vinicius Oliveira to me. So I think Yanez is a little too soon for that one. That's what I think.
Yeah, and let's get Loke Dog in there with Dexat at some point in the future. I did see someone comment. I don't remember her, Stephen Kelleher from Topology, maybe, who said that Dexat could drop to 125. He has fought there before, but he was fighting at 135 a lot recently. I don't know if he's fought at flyweight for a couple of years now. He does not look like a big bantamweight. It would not surprise me if he is a natural flyweight, and that is where he actually ends up next.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so, but he can compete at bantamweight for sure. He obviously can compete at bantamweight, but I do understand the idea that, like, oh yeah, kind of just by the eye test, you're like, yeah, he does look a little small for 135. So
yeah.
Did you read out Perez and Schnell from Left Lane?
I did not.
Is that coming up? Oh, you just skipped it.
I skipped it. I skipped it. I mean, like, I get it.
Mike,
it's a jinxed fight. And second of all, I don't want to see Machdell fight anytime soon.
Mike, they both made it to the cage on Saturday, just not against each other.
Yes, he said Alex Perez versus Machdell. There you go. John Ray, last submitter. Not a lot of submissions here. This is just kind of one of those cards. John Ray, CLD versus Anders, Klein versus Ishmael Bonfim, Zahabi versus Hani Yahya, Petrino versus the Kennedy and Tchouku Ovin St. Preux winner. And he says, I love what John Ray is trying to do here, AK. Biggie Boy versus anyone but Derek Lewis. But in parentheses, maybe some reverse psychology will work on the matchmakers. So I like where you're going with this. I like the style.
Reverse
here.
Jinxing.
Reverse jinxing. AK, what do you got?
Challenge them.
Yes.
Challenge. If the media brought that up, you know, if Dana was there on Saturday and the media brought that up, he would have been insulted. He would have been like, what? What a stupid matchup.
It's so funny you say that, because, like, that was one of my big things that I think really – the fact that Dana was not there, I think, helps Muhammad Makhachev tremendously. Because if Dana was asked about Muhammad Makhachev, he would have said, yeah, man, don't make fights the night of the fight. We'll talk about it on Tuesday. That's usually a bad sign for somebody.
Yeah, he would have gotten that the Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't want to read all these because some of these are similar. So Roenstrick versus Lewis, the number one pick far and away. I swear I had at least 10 people send this. Makhachev and Toja, there's enough support for it. That was the most popular Makhachev pick. Umar Sanhagen, obviously, probably the second most popular pick behind Roenstrick and Lewis. Erceg and Nicolau, a lot of people wanted that. And CLD and MAB was a big one too. Also, Klein versus Nasrat Haqparast. So there you go. I did want to read one comment. Again, this was sent by multiple people. Mike, I can't remember if you mentioned this one. Umar and Cejudo.
I don't hate that idea.
I hate it because Cejudo doesn't deserve the fight, but I love it because Umar would beat his ass, and that would just be hilarious to me. So I'm of two minds of it. I'll just read Barry O'Reilly's comment about it. He said, it'll more than likely be Sanhagen. That's a great fight, but I like the Cejudo option. He says, it will probably go similarly, excuse me, guys, to the Merab fight, but it's a big name that Umar is currently missing. This is true. It would be a very good-looking name on the resume. Cejudo, I think, probably, I mean, listen, he still has the skills to fight Umar, that's for sure, but gosh, at this age, like, and just this stage of his career, I just don't see, again, how he can compete with Umar for more than one round. It's just a different pace at 135 now, and Sue is a great athlete, all-time great combat sports athlete, but age comes to get everybody, especially the smaller divisions. So again, as someone who wants Cejudo to go away, love it. As someone who thinks Umar deserves a bigger name and should fight Corey Sanhagen, hate it. So we'll go to emails here real quick. We only got one. I got one from our pal Tristan Gordet. Vinicius Oliveira, Taylor Laplace. I like it. And he wants to see Javid bounce back with a fight against Marcus McGee. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Instagram, Gerard Biagin. Petrino versus Jacoby. That's right, buddy. Mike, what do you think of Umar and the silence behind the violence? Jonathan Martinez. It's a great matchup.
If they did it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Maybe not the right time for either guy. Eric Anders, Brad Tavares. Has this never been booked even?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
That's wild. Do they train together or something? How does this not?
I don't think they make this fight.
They have been around for Ed. It's got to happen someday. That's middleweighting. Caleb Stevenson, Petrino versus Dominic Reyes. I mean, the Carlos Ulberg fight keeps falling through, so maybe if Dominic wants to get in there, maybe that's the way to go. What else we got here? Anders versus Njokuani McKee winner. Those guys fight in Atlantic City. CLD, Christian Leroy Duncan versus Michelle Pereira, Michael Oleksychuk winner. They fight next week. That's a big step up.
It's not too soon?
But I'm a believer in CLD, though. I'm a believer. I don't know. I think he's one of those guys in cage warriors that's actually going to like kind of.
He did look real good. I do think they have something with him. I really do. I think rushing him is the worst thing you can do, though.
Okay. Him prayer could be really fun.
He's not that far away, though. He's probably like two wins away from those types of fights.
Shamil Gaziev versus Jamal Pogues. Love it. That's your UFC Vegas 96 co-main event. Great pick. Great stuff. Great stuff. Love it, Caleb. Great pick.
Yeah.
Tino Alvarez. Radzibov versus Kurt Holubov. He beats Trey Ogden. They fight on March 23rd. Zahabi, Haunie Barcelos.
Ooh, that's fine. That's good.
Your boy Eric Anders versus your boy Roman Kopylov. And
I don't know if I want to see Kennedy that.
And Gino versus Kennedy and Zichuku if he beats Ovince St. Preux. They fight on March 16th. And now Twitter. Let's close out with Twitter. Braden O'Neill, Rosenstrike versus Tuivasa Tabura winner. They fight March 16th. I think Jairzinho did mention that, I believe, post-fight. He said Lewis. He said just wants a fresh matchup. Erceg Ulanbekov. Yes, makes sense ranking-wise. Mike, Eric Anders and Joe Pyfer?
I'm okay with that one. I'm okay with that one.
I don't mind. It kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense. That's a good test for Pyfer, too. Again, a good kind of recalibration. Interesting. Sean Haywood, Ludovic Klein, Jared Gordon. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that. Umar and Rob Font, Mike. I don't know. I didn't love it.
No. Don't like it. I like Rob Font versus either The Silence Behind the Violence or Mario Batista next. I think that makes sense. It's more sense.
Okay. Artur coming in with Gazeev versus Waldo Cortez Acosta. Again, there's your UFC Vegas 101 co-main event. TAC MMA, Petrino and Jim Crute. I actually love this pick. Jimmy Crute is obviously has been sidelined with an injury forever. We don't know when he's coming back, but I think that's, if he's healthy, I actually think that's the best Petrino pick.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, we just don't know when Jimmy's coming back. Again, because he had the leg injury and then came back too soon and then kind of re-injured the leg. So could be, you might not see Jimmy Crute in 2024, honestly. Like, and again, good for him. He's a young guy. Take your time, rest. And I'll end with our Barry O'Reilly. Tough day for Celtic, but we persevere. Radzivov versus Nurulo Aliyev. It's a Tajikistan matchup. He said this fight will have the whole country watching. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I feel they want to keep him away from each other. But Ludovic Klein, Daniel Zellhuber, Anders Avis Magomedov. I think you mentioned this one before. I actually really like that. And then I hadn't thought about this, Mike. And I don't think they make it happen. I don't think the timing is quite right, but it'll happen eventually. But if it happened next, it'd be kind of cool. The only other matchup that kind of intrigues me as much as Rozenstruik Lewis, maybe Rozenstruik Pavlovich?
Hmm.
I kind of like it. I shouldn't even discuss anything outside of Jairzinho, Derek Lewis. I understand.
That's not bad.
If we ended up with him and Pavlovich, it's kind of okay.
It's kind of
okay. I don't hate it.
It's kind of okay, but it's still so wrong.
And it's not Derek Lewis. You're right. It's not. It's worst. Most importantly, it's not Derek Lewis. That's it, guys. That's it for me. If you want to send picks in, well, don't next week, guys.
Thank
you know what?
You.
I'm not. I won't tell them because I don't want to confuse. I'm sorry. I'll stop myself. I don't want to confuse people. I don't want to confuse.
Yes, we will be doing a show next week, but we'll be live on YouTube. So all the matchmaking suggestions.
Oh, I won't
will be
here. I won't be here. I should have told. I was going to say this for Monday's meeting that you have to. I have to. I will be on taking time off. I will be traveling. I'll be in New York I'm traveling with my girlfriend to New York. So
when are you going? When are you going?
I will going next, leaving before next weekend. So I probably will not be watching UFC 299 live. I'll definitely catch up with it for sure. I won't be seeing Ngannou Fury live. I will just keep you up. I'll be keeping up with the excellent coverage of MMAfighting.com and watching whatever I can after to catch up. But I'll probably be not MMAing at all during this vacation.
Okay.
Hopefully stop off by the
We have to do it. because I'm going
to
be there.
I think
I'm going
to
be there Thursday night. So
I know you've got a watch party.
I got two watch parties. Two. Dose.
I'm definitely, unless I've never been to the Vox Media Studios, and obviously I've never met my best friend Mike Heck in person, but I think this could be the day.
We got to do it.
Mike, this could be the day. Now, I just thought about it though. I won't actually be in New York on the weekend.
Will you be there Thursday?
Well, you know what? We'll talk about this.
We'll figure it out.
I'm traveling and I'll be like on the way to this great city of New York, but I won't be in the city of New York. I'll be in the state of New York. It might not be possible, but hopefully I will be able to see you somehow. We'll see. We'll have to make that happen. We might be two beautiful boats passing in the night. So we'll see. But the point is, yes, you will have a guest host next week. Maybe Jen Mishu. Hopefully Jen Mishu. Maybe someone else if they want to be adventurous and hop on. Or maybe just you and the peeps.
Maybe just me and the peeps live. Maybe just me and the peeps. Because like you and I just do it. We know what's going to happen. I always feel bad asking people to like tag in on the like post pay-per-view ones. Because like you literally get no sleep. Like anybody who has Sunday off. Like that's just, it's tough. It's tough to ask somebody to come
in. But
we'll figure that out. Maybe just me and the peeps. We'll party.
Yeah, the peeps are maniacs. They don't sleep, Mike. The peeps don't sleep. They'll be there for you.
Yes, it will be live following UFC 299. What a friggin' card this is. Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Vera, the main event. Part two for the Bantamweight title. Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis, 5-round co-main event. Good Lord Almighty. Kevin Holland welcoming Michael Venom Page to the UFC. Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Maddalena. Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong. Do or die, perhaps, for Piotr Jan. Entering the fight on a 4-fight losing streak. That is just freaking crazy. Curtis Blaydes versus Jailton Almeida. Caitlin Serminara, formerly known as Caitlin Chookagian, versus Macy Barber. Matush Gamrot versus Rafael dos Anjos. Pedro Munoz versus Kyler Phillips. Michelle Pereira versus Mikhail Oleksaychuk. Philippe Lins versus Iwan Kuchalaba. Golly. Robelli Despagne making his UFC debut. This dude is a friggin' tank, taking on Josh Parisian. Only 4-0, but this dude is a knockout machine. CJ Vergara versus Asu Almabayev and Joanne Wood, perhaps gracing the octagon for the final time against Marina Moroes. So we'll find out next Saturday at UFC 299. So get excited, everybody. Live next week on the program. Until then, buckle up, get geared up for a very busy week in the combat sports world. Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua on Friday, UFC 299 on Saturday, and we'll discuss the matchmaking from 299 on the YouTube channel next week on to the next one, the podcast. Don't forget, everybody, the golden rule, and I think this is an important rule, something you've needed to learn more and more in these different times of MMA fanhood, if you will. Don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. And we'll have fun next week on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.